straight up 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Ochsian Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what's going on?
We didn't have Sarah with us yesterday, so I want to loop her in, even though he's not doing it today.
Oh, boy.
But just because you weren't with us yesterday. Yesterday, Gambo wore a shirt with buttons.
Just to screw everybody up.
And didn't have anywhere he needed to be.
Nope.
What?
I know. It was a shame you weren't here to see it.
Oh, my God.
It was this touchstone moment for all of us.
All dressed up and nowhere to go.
He came in. He comes into the office, the prep room. Look, guys, shirt with buttons, and I'm not even going to a game tonight. Look at that.
Just to prove it.
And then he started calling us a bunch of names. Because
I was going
to
say, as you pointed out yesterday, that's the very G-rated version of what happened.
It was a very Tarantino-like version. He walks into the prep room. Look. I don't even want to say it.
I grew up in an Italian family. Right. My father cursed me out every day my entire life. Like, I was cursed out from here to next year. I remember one day in shop class in, like, seventh grade, I made, like, this disco box. It was like it's supposed to, like, you know, beam lights to music. It was like in shop class. I was terrible at shop. So I bring it home. He plugs it in. The whole circuit breakers went out. The whole house went out. My father cursed me in Italian the entire, like, for 15 minutes. Basically in Italian saying, don't ever make anything for me again. Don't ever bring anything back. I can't stand. Completely cursed me out for 15 minutes.
Wow.
I brought him up. I made it for him.
It was a gift for your dad.
It was a gift to my dad. Oh. He plugged it in and every circuit and breaker in the house went out. I must have rewired it wrong or something. And oh my God, my father, you no good. He called me every name in the book. My father.
So you
basically said,
that.
"Don't ever make anything for me again, ever."
He transferred that negative energy and he put it all on us because he was wearing a shirt with buttons yesterday.
Oh, my dad was the best. Hey, Dad, can I help? Yeah, you know how you can help? Get the hell out of here. That's how you can help. You want to help me? Go away. That's how you can help me. You go away, you'll help me.
Oh, that was
my dad. You
but
love
in a
it.
Way, you're getting out of some chores. Like, if he has to do some things around the house and he doesn't want you to do it, hey, you're free to go.
I didn't know how to change a tire. I didn't learn anything from my father. Nothing.
Wow.
Except
how to curse out people in your general vicinity, which you're very good at.
And some good mob stuff. I learned.
Well, and that too. A very buttonless Gambo today. Let me check. I've got a couple buttons on my shirt, but that's like par for the course with me. With that in mind, now that we've got our wardrobe attire all checked off, let's tell you what our top story of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in, brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
I'll tell you what we're weighing in on today, about 45 minutes before the start of the show.
I can't believe this. This is unbelievable. This is such a big story.
We came in and we started mapping out what we were going to talk about, and I was like, guys, Antonio Brown just got cut.
Like, what?
Antonio Brown just got cut.
The Patriots cut Antonio Brown.
11 days later.
Gone.
And the Patriots cut no one.
I just don't understand. The Patriots are like your model organization. Well, not model. They make mistakes, right? But you would think they would have done their homework on this before they signed Antonio Brown. Because I'm fascinated. You're watching the guy that does all the cap numbers.
Yeah.
I am dying to know more than anything. Do they have to pay him the $9 million?
Hmm.
Do they have to pay him the $9 million? Because I'll tell you what. I talked to some NFL players. Termination pay. There's no termination pay because he was not on the roster in week one. The guaranteed money and the signing bonus, those are different, right? It depends on the language. Is it conduct detrimental to the team? Can the team fight him on that? And all of that stuff. But the termination pay doesn't get any because he wasn't on a roster week one. But is he entitled to that $9 million bonus? I want to know more than anything. I want to know if that guy's going to get paid.
The statement from the New England Patriots spokesperson, and notice how he or she does not think Antonio Brown specifically, quote, "The New England Patriots are releasing Antonio Brown. We appreciate the hard work of many people over the past 11 days, but we feel that it is best to move in a different direction at this time." They didn't thank Antonio Brown.
Man.
They appreciated the hard work of quote-unquote many of the people who had to put up with this bull bleep over the last 11 days. Hey, everybody in our organization who was embarrassed, humiliated to be a part of this organization because we employed this clown. We appreciate your hard work because we're sorry we ever did this.
How did the Patriots make that big of a mistake? How did the New England Patriots make that big of a mistake? Seriously, I'm dying to know.
Well, remember what Schefter had reported when they signed him 11 days ago. They were unaware of the rape allegations, that every team looking into him was unaware of the rape allegations, and it didn't come out until afterwards. So they obviously didn't do enough of their homework then. I think a couple things happened. I think a whole bunch of things happened.
Okay.
I think, number one, according to what I'm reading, he was due $5 million of his $9 million bonus on Monday.
And they wanted to get out of that.
Let's cut him before we pay him that money.
Give ourselves a chance to get to keep that money.
That's number one. Number two, he's going to go on the exempt list. And when he does, we have to pay him. And we don't want to pay him.
Got to pay him on the exempt list.
So let's cut him before the commissioner puts him on the exempt list, which keeps him from playing and keeps him from practicing, but does not keep the Patriots from paying him. And number three, he had the temerity to text one of his accusers of sexual assault in a group chat with his buddies.
Let's go into that.
That included pictures of her kids in which he told his friends to look into her to see how much money she had. How dumb do you have to be if you're Antonio Brown do that in the last 48 hours with everything going on?
He's mentally ill. Let's just let's get this out of the way. He's got mental issues. He's got whatever it is. He's got a mental issue that he's going to have to deal with. But the question that I had, and we debated this for a little while, and I think you were right. I think you kind of convinced me of it, was that threatening? Is that threatening? I mean, he didn't say, I'm going to come beat you up. He didn't say, I'm going to take your kids from you. But, like, I was kind of on the fence about whether that was threatening or not. But you kind of pushed me over to your side of it as to believing that, and I believe you, that was basically a threat.
Sure. If you've got a woman who's accused you of something, and you text her back, and you include your buddies, and you tell one of your buddies to start looking into her, hey, check this girl, see how much money she's got. Oh, by the way, here's a picture of your kids. Boy, you look poor. Come on. Yes, that's a threat. Gambo here. Frankie. Hey, why don't you go check this girl out and see what she's got going on in her background? How is that not that's
if I sent
that's
a
intimidation?
Message,
that's if, a threat.
If I had sent a message to my group about something like that, and this is how you won me over, they would probably take it serious and go look into it and do whatever it has to do to shut her up.
Yeah,
the
right.
Only
gotta shut her up.
To bring her children into it is to invoke fear. That's it.
Yeah.
That is all.
That's it. Because now she fears for her child.
Yeah. Why else would you bring kids into
I'm totally listening. I was on the fence for about 2 minutes, and you guys convinced me. I completely agree now. I wasn't sure, but I agree now. Those texts come off as threatening because he included pictures of her children.
Yeah.
Here's a woman with two children, right? I mean, she probably fears for her kids.
Absolutely.
What are these? She doesn't know these guys from a hole in the wall. What are these guys going to do?
Sure, exactly.
Are they going to come try shut me up? What are they going to do?
Now, we did get several tweets on our Burns and Gambo Twitter account, and I even got a couple personally because we were talking about Ron Rivera walking out of his press conference yesterday, and we said he needs to follow the Bill Belichick model. And the Bill Belichick model is you just say, hey, we're on Arizona, we're on to Miami, we're on to Cincinnati. Bill Belichick today walked out of his press conference over questions about Antonio Brown.
Had, like, tons of tweets on that.
I got a bunch too, and I was the one who basically said the WWBD bracelet, what would Bill do? Rub it, and that's what Ron Rivera should do. Belichick this morning walked out on his presser over Antonio Brown questions.
Bill, do you expect to have Antonio available to you on Sunday?
He's on our roster.
Another headline today focusing on Antonio Brown. Does any of this at all affect his status with the team?
Yeah, I think I've already addressed this, so we're going to get ready for the Jets here. Happy to answer any football questions, but the rest of it, I'm done with the rest of it.
Jared, was there ever a point where some off-field stuff is enough? Too much?
Yeah. I'm good. Okay. Thank you. Well, yeah, we had enough of that.
All right, WWBD, he would walk out too. Apparently.
Ron Rivera, Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick would, in fact, walk out of a press conference.
What's the odds on the next head coach to walk out of a press conference? Come on, give me it. Give me the odds. Who is the next head coach to walk out of a press conference?
These things happen in threes.
Yeah, they do. Somebody's going to walk out of a press conference.
New England roots, already a surly personality, Matt Patricia.
You go Matt Patricia in Detroit?
That's a good one. Oh, no. Same theory, Brian Flores.
Oh, Brian Flores.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah,
and that team's a dumpster fire.
He's the next one to walk out.
Sarah, you got a team?
you know, for the heck of it, I'll go Jason Garrett. Just for the heck of it.
He's way too. He's the leash isn't long enough for him to walk away from
you don't
the podium.
Think so?
No, the leash. Jerry's leash isn't long enough for Jason Garrett to walk away from
Jerry
the podium.
Jerry Jones would be closer to that.
There you go.
Than him, yeah.
Here's Adam Schefter today on the Will
Cain
Show.
I'll go Pat Shurmur.
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't chime in on that.
I'm going to get mine. I'll go Pat Shurmur.
Okay. Pat Shurmur?
He's already not doing interviews on WFAN.
Sorry. I thought you chimed in. My bad.
I had not. Okay. Go ahead.
Schefter on the Will Cain Show today. What was the straw that broke the Patriots' back? He said it might have been today's press conference.
There were people that I don't think were thrilled to have him in the organization to begin with. And then when you get there, and there are more and more revelations and more things that come out, and he goes live from TV12 and starts talking about the devil, and then you see the Sports Illustrated article on Monday and then last night that reveal more alleged harassment. Also, I was wondering today, when Bill Belichick got to that press conference, and they asked him five Antonio Brown questions, and that was it, and he walked off. There's a part of me that's thinking, you got this 2-0 team, this great team, all is right there, and your season is going to have this to deal with. Do they want to do that? Do they have to do that? No.
That was
reminds me of a song when I was a kid. I don't know if you guys remember this. We hate to see you go. We hate to see you go. We hope the hell you never come back. We hate to see you go. Does anybody remember that? Oh, my God. Nobody remembers that?
I don't remember that. Oh. The tune sounds familiar.
We hate to see you go. We hate to see you go. We hope the hell you never come back. We hate to see you go.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I don't know. I just remember that when I was a kid. That's what they said to Antonio Brown today.
All right, real quick. Jason at overthecap.com calls this release pretty much unprecedented.
He's the number one guy today.
Yeah, Jason from overthecap.com, who is a salary cap expert, calls this release pretty much unprecedented from a salary cap standpoint. My assumption is the timing of this release is to avoid actual payment of his $9 million bonus, which part of it was due on September 23rd. Brown will then file a grievance against the Patriots if they withhold the money, and how that works out will determine the cap charges. Here's what he writes. I cannot imagine the Patriots have a leg to stand on to initiate forfeiture of the bonus payment.
Unless there's language in the contract.
Forfeitures are triggered by suspensions, conduct, going to jail, leaving the team, etc. This is a release because of him being a distraction and because of accusations. So he thinks that
they're going to have to pay
the $9 million for him to go away.
We don't know what kind of language is in that contract.
Right.
It's all going to depend on the language in the contract.
It is official. Cam Newton is out for Sunday's game. How is that going to change things for the Arizona Cardinals is a question we'll try to answer coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. After days of speculation, it was confirmed today by the injury report released by the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton is out. Will not play.
All right. They waited as long as they could, right?
Bickley Murata had on a Charlotte guy. His name is Darren Gant. He's based out of Charlotte. He writes for ProFootballTalk.com. And he said, look, I'm hearing this is going to be multiple weeks for Cam. But this is not going to be, like, there's no reason for Ron Rivera to be this vague about it. He's not going to be coming back anytime soon is what he's hearing because of the various injuries, the foot injury, the shoulder injury, things like that. So, you know, we kind of laughed about Ron Rivera walking out yesterday, upset about the line of questioning. People wanted something definitive. But he has been ruled out. He will not play. Cliff Kingsbury today said even without Cam Newton, the Panthers will be tough.
Either way, you know, they're going to be a formidable opponent. We know that. The last time Kyle Allen stepped on a field, they won and scored 30 points on the road. So we understand we're going to have our hands full.
Against the Saints team that was resting most of their starters in Week 17 at the end of last season, which is kind of a caveat to how well Kyle Allen played and the fact that he led the Panthers to a win on the road. But Kingsbury said he was impressed by what he's seen from Kyle Allen.
I think when you watch how he played last year, And to make his first start and have that type of success, it says a lot. It's not easy to step in like that on the road and find a way to win. And very accurate, gets the ball out quick and continue that play in preseason. So I've been impressed. He was a great prospect coming out of high school and has really developed so far in his time in the league.
I went on one of the Charlotte sports radio shows, Kyle and Corey, in Charlotte today to talk about them. And I'm telling the fascination that they have with Kyler Murray in the offense is, you know,
really,
they're just fascinated by this. Like, You know, they wanted to very. But the last question was about the defense. Everything was, tell us about Kyler Murray. Tell us about the offense. What about David Johnson in a running game? And Corey, I think, played in the NFL for like 8 or 9 years. So it was they were fascinated by this offense. Corey Miller is the guy I was on with in Charlotte, and they talked so much about that. Not much about Cam and Kyle, because obviously there's not a lot to know about Kyle Allen, right? I mean, we know more about his college history and what happened than we do anything in the NFL. We know we had to start against the Saints, but we know the Saints didn't play anybody in that game, and he played well. He's getting an opportunity here. And if I'm him, listen, you've got to look at this and now seriously question, what's Cam Newton's future within Carolina? This might be your opportunity to show them. We're talking about Rosen needing to show the Dolphins something. Kyle Allen, you've got an opportunity to show the Carolina Panthers that they don't need to go outside the organization to get Cam Newton's replacement. We have not talked about this yet, but Cam Newton's career in Carolina is in jeopardy. His contract comes to an end after next year. They could get out of the contract after this year. Mm-hmm. So if this kid shows anything that he could be their quarterback, they may decide to move on from Cam Newton. So this isn't just, oh, he's going to come in, he's going to get a couple starts, then Cam will be back. He's got to look at this as an opportunity to show the Carolina Panthers that I could be your guy. I could be your guy. Cam's not winning. Cam's hurt. Cam's contract's not a good situation. You can get out of it. He's got something to prove here to show that he could be the quarterback for that organization.
Yeah, he does have something to prove. And given that it's in his home state, given that it's against Kyler Murray, you know, all those things that we talked about all week long, I've been trying all day to come up with a reason, like a real rational, logical reason that I can find that this would somehow benefit the Carolina Panthers and work against the Arizona Cardinals.
I don't have any.
I can't come up with one. A buddy of mine texted me and said, you know, it would have been better if Cam Newton had practiced all week and he couldn't go at the last minute, so that Kyle Allen didn't have 10 days to prepare himself to be the starter, that he's kind of had a little bit of running room to be the starter. But I still think at the end of the day,
it's a young kid making his first making a start on the road. I don't know that the extra ideally, sure. I mean, let the kid find out today he's got to be the starter,
right? He's overwhelmed all of a sudden because he's got 48 hours to prep for this first start. I suppose that might have been more ideal, or like Cam gets hurt in the first quarter against the Cardinals, and now Kyle Allen's got to come in cold off the bench and play. I suppose that would have been a little bit better, but if you're going to offer me the opportunity of Cam Newton, even as bad as he was in those first two games, and in particular last week against the Bucks, on the road, hostile environment, a team desperately looking for their first win, this is advantage Cardinals across the board, as long as they don't overlook this guy because he is so young and he's making this road start.
Here's
because
the, here's the thing about the like, if this was Kyle Allen coming in here to play Kurt Warner or to play Carson Palmer, you'd be like, okay, listen, this is a car payment. I'll make that bet. Here's the reality. This will be the 20th quarterback age 26 or younger who's going to start this week. Think about that. The 20th quarterback age 26 or younger who's expected to start this week. That is the most in a single week since 1950. There are a lot of young quarterbacks. It is like, if I was a gambler, I don't know what the how do you pick? You don't know anybody.
No.
You didn't know Gardner Minshew last night. He went out there and he tore it up. He played great, right?
Sure.
And the veteran guy sucked again, which we'll talk about later. There are so many young quarterbacks playing this week that it's like, okay, Kyle Allen's really young. He's only had one start on the road. Well, Kyler Murray's only had one start on the road.
Right.
You know?
No, you're right. You're right. And even though Kyler Murray comes from a higher pedigree, you know, Heisman Trophy winner, number one pick overall, all of that stuff, is Kyle Allen even older than Kyler Murray is? I bet he is. Yeah, I think he is. I think he's actually older than Kyler Murray. Murray's younger than Allen.
Okay, yeah, because Allen's been in the league a year.
Yeah, Allen's been in the league
Allen's
a year.
Allen's 23.
Allen's so, 23, yeah. So he's older.
He sat out a year, right? It's for the transfer to Houston.
But your point is really well made. In an era where you've got so many young quarterbacks, who's to say who has
There's
the
any
advantage or the disadvantage?
What's the advantage?
So at the end of the day, you're taking a guy who is making not his first road start in this league, but his first road start in this league when it matters.
Yeah, the New Orleans game, they didn't play anybody. It was on the road. Carolina won. The Panthers sat all of their starters.
It's really easy to throw that game out. It's really easy. He had a good game. 16 of 27, 228 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. The Saints played nobody in that game. They played nobody in that game. Also, the injury report, the rest of the injury report, Bruce Irvin is out as well for the Carolina Panthers. I believe Brian Burns, that means their rookie, will be playing. Kawan Short is questionable in this game. Greg Olsen is also questionable in this game.
Okay, that would be gigantic.
Oh, that'd be huge.
He had a great week last week. And Abe Cardinals obviously have had a problem with tight ends.
Yes.
Had a problem with tight ends, and Olsen's a good one.
And
not the speed guy, but he's just a reliable, good route runner, and he catches everything thrown his way.
And no confirmation from the Cardinals as to who their starting right tackle will be in this game. Whether it's,
I mean, I do believe they're going to play both guys. I do. But I'm, you know, maybe Murray doesn't get the start this week.
Yeah, Kingsbury did say as much today that they might, that both guys might get some playing time, and you might see a little bit of both. We'll see who ends up getting the majority of those snaps today, but things are pretty vague coming out of the Cardinals about who their starting right tackle will be this week, and we'll keep you updated if we get more information on that. ASU football, going to head in tomorrow's game with Colorado, undefeated, ranked 24th in the top 25. There are still some that are not buying what the Sun Devils are selling. We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Let's go back over to Sarah Cazell with today's Twitter Poll question of the day. And not directly complimenting you, Sarah, but Rich Eisen from the NFL Network has complimented you.
Oh.
I'll tell you why in a second.
Oh,
not directly to you, but go ahead and read the poll question, right, and I'll tell you why he's
what's up, Rich Eisen?
Okay. Giving you the credit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So as we've talked about, the biggest story of the day, Antonio Brown, cut by the Patriots. What happens next for Antonio Brown? 4 options for you.
Okay.
He signs with another NFL team soon.
No.
Okay. He sits out this season, but is back in the NFL in 2020. He joins the XFL in 2020, which I believe February is the start of that season after the Super Bowl. Or the last option, his playing days are done.
God, I always want to go with 4, right? But just only takes one team.
Right.
God, only takes that. Like, I thought Michael Vick was done. You going with 2?
2.
Doesn't play this year, plays next year.
2.
Yeah.
2 makes sense. I always love option 4.
Sure, because that's the nuclear option,
right? That's the nuclear option.
That's the turn your keys, launch your missiles, it's the end of the world kind of thing, right? The reason you're getting credit, Jeff Schwartz tweeted out a poll on Twitter, basically the same thing. Will he ever play a regular season game again, yes or no?
Okay.
Rich Eisen retweeted it and said, you did not include the XFL option.
Hey.
And he was being dead serious. He's like, you got it. You have to consider that. You have to consider that that might be a place where they say, okay, we need the bump. We need the, you know, we need the spike in attention.
Sure.
We don't care about your off-the-field stuff.
Nope.
Come entertain us.
It just depends on how scuzzy that league decides they want to be right out of the chutes, right?
Yeah.
But
I'll go with 2, but I want it to be 4.
I want it to be 4.
He's a bum. I hope I never see him. The NFL doesn't need Antonio Brown.
Yeah. No.
Okay, you're not a quarterback. You're not Tom Brady. You're not Drew Brees. The NFL doesn't need you. If you go away, nobody cares. They don't care. You're a diva wide receiver. You make 6 catches a game. The NFL doesn't need you.
By the way,
you won't be missed at all.
His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, tweeted out about a half hour ago, it's unfortunate things didn't work out with the Patriots, but Antonio is healthy and looking forward to his next opportunity in the NFL. He wants to play the game he loves, and he hopes to play for another team.
Here's where he's a coward. Ready? You want to know why he's a coward?
Mm.
He should dump his client. Your client's threatening a woman and her children? You dump your client, Drew. Drew, you've got plenty of clients. You've got plenty of money. You know, say, you know what? With everything that's coming out, I've decided that Antonio can use new representation. I've decided that it's not a good working relationship.
Now, that would be bold.
No, that's what he should do.
That would be bold.
Instead of all this, I'm going to try to get him a job stuff. Because do you really? Here's a woman who was threatened by Antonio Brown and his crew on a text message. They included the children in the photos. I'm on board with you. I was on the fence, but I'm on board now that it was threatening. If you are Drew Rosenhaus, where, you know, you're a coward. Drew, you're a coward. I'm telling you right now, you're a coward. You should dump Antonio Brown as a client. You don't need him. You don't need him. You got plenty of other clients.
Sarah, real quick, give me the results so far on that poll question.
Yeah, right now, 34% of our voters say that Antonio Brown is done. 33% say he sits out this year, is back in the NFL next year. 18% say he will join the XFL this coming season. Only 15% believe that he will sign with an NFL team and soon.
Yeah. Herm Edwards on Monday. Yes, we've been in this situation before.
It's a good test for us again. It really is. You've had a little bit of success, and how do you handle it? Last year, we were in a similar spot. We had some success, and we got our nose punched in. And so we'll find out. All the warning signs are there, and I'm going to talk about it all week. Then we're going to go in the ball yard, and we're going to find out. You know, but we'll see how we handle it.
What does he mean by the warning signs? What warning signs? What are you worried about when it comes to your team? Overlook Colorado after beating Michigan State the way they might have overlooked San Diego State last year after beating Michigan State.
Well, you'll know based on the practice. You'll know based on the week of practice.
Yeah.
That's how you know.
But he said that on Monday. I'm just sort of curious. All the warning signs are there.
The warning signs from what happened last year. They lost 4 out of 5 games.
Yeah.
They beat Michigan State. They lost to San Diego State. Then they got beat by Washington. Then they won a game, and then they lost 4 to 5. So, you can't tell the warning signs Monday because they haven't practiced yet. So, literally on Monday, he can't be – that can't be an honest evaluation. The warning signs are there. Because it depends on how they practice. Now, if you feel like they're lackluster, or if they keep talking about the Michigan State game, or you keep going back, or now that you're ranked, I mean, you got to get that game out of your head as quick as you can. You got Colorado coming in here, okay? They've had some success against you. They beat you last year. They got a great wide receiver. This is not an easy game. There are no easy games for ASU because they're not that good. They're good. I'm buying in. They're good. But they're not good enough to slaughter somebody. They're not, like, I don't know if they might put a pounding on one or two teams, but their offense right now with this kid, and I think he's going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They're not dropping 45 on teams, right? So, like, I think they're going to play a lot of close games. And even Danny Gonzalez yesterday on one of the shows, was it Bickley and Murata?
Bickley and Murata.
Danny Gonzalez hinted, like, our defense is going to have to carry us for a little while until the offense catches up.
The game is on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. There was an article on SportsIllustrated.com. It's funny that you mentioned that a second ago about buying, not buying. Two of their college football writers touched specifically on the Pac-12 and ASU. One, not buying the Pac-12's resurgence just because they have 6 teams in the top 25. One in particular, the concept of Arizona State being a surprise contender in the Pac-12 South, Max Meyer writes, I'm not buying it. Sun Devils are fresh off an upset against Michigan State. Only preseason hype machine Utah can match ASU's undefeated record. But the Michigan State box score shouldn't make ASU fans optimistic. The Sun Devils were outgained 410 to 216, had a minus 1.3 yard per play differential compared to Michigan State. ASU's defense has been good, but Jaden Daniels, while showing flashes, he's still a true freshman playing behind that offensive line that will limit his ceiling this season. I also think ASU's defense regresses when it goes up against offenses that can actually move the ball. I'll be eager to see how it fares against Colorado this upcoming Saturday.
Yeah, they got a very experienced quarterback. They've got a great wide receiver, one of the best out there. Love the kid, Chenault. I do. I think he's fantastic. I actually watched, I like to watch an entire game. I can't channel surf.
The red zone channel is not for you, is what you're saying.
I can't go back and forth to 4 different games. I need to sit and watch one game. And I watched the Colorado-Nebraska game, and Nebraska was beating up pretty good, and then Colorado came back, and then they forced overtime, and they won the game, and they showed some moxie there. They did, in coming back and winning that football game. They're not a bad team. There's no great teams in the Pac-12. There's not a great team, okay? There's a lot of good teams, but there are no great teams, in my opinion. Arizona State's fun. They're right there. Any one of these, if you go through the Pac-12 schedule, most weeks, man, there are very few games where you're going to be, so I guarantee you that team's going to win. A lot of the games are, that could go either way. That can't. Arizona State's games this year, but that could go either way.
Yeah.
Almost every game they play is going to be a game that could go either way.
I go back to something you said earlier in the week. If the conversation is, are you buying or not buying ASU? I'll go back to something you said on Tuesday. You asked the question, is ASU now the favorite when it comes to the Pac-12 South? How exactly
did
you phrase it?
Are
they in the best position
to represent the Pac-12 in a playoff game?
That's right. Okay.
I didn't say they are the best.
Right.
I said, are they in the best position? I think some people mistook that because I'm just saying based on they've got to win against the Power 5 team now, are they in the best position?
So to this point about buying, not buying, I'm not buying that. Okay, and I think I made that pretty clear on Tuesday. I'm not buying that they are in the pole position to be the Pac-12 representative and win the conference. What I am buying is that they're capable of that, and I know that's a tricky little wordplay right there. I don't think they will be that, but I think they're capable of being that.
I don't think they will be either. I don't know. I don't think this got misconstrued by you, but based on the fact that Utah does not play any Power 5 schools non-conference, and neither does Washington State, the win over Michigan State puts ASU in the best spot, if they ran the tables, to say, we deserve it. Well, why do you deserve it? Because we played Michigan State on the road and beat them. Oh, okay. That's a really good argument. Utah could say, we played nobody.
Yeah.
You played nobody. So, like, that's the one thing that I think hurts Utah is they're not playing anybody.
NBA 2K20. It's out now. Year after year, proves to be the best NBA video game of all time, and we're giving you the chance to win a copy either on PlayStation 4 or Xbox One. Head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com to enter. He got his payday in Jacksonville after performing well for an injured quarterback, but now that he's hurt, is Nick Foles about to get Nick Foles'd? We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. I was telling Gambo this during the break. 60 seconds, quick update on the Antonio Brown situation.
Love it.
Who was released today by about an hour ago by the Patriots. Jeremy Fowler is a senior NFL writer for ESPN. He tweeted out moments ago that, according to a league source, Antonio Brown is likely going to forfeit his $9 million signing bonus from the Patriots because of a contract clause calling for players to disclose situations preventing availability. This could lead to a grievance, but that league source says that money is, quote, gone, close quote.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Brown was due $5 million on Monday.
Good.
So because
there's a
clause that requires him to disclose a situation that could prevent him from being available, that clause might keep the Patriots from paying Antonio Brown a cent of that guaranteed
$9 million. The guy's a bum. I hope he doesn't get a cent. I hope he never plays in the NFL again. I hope he just goes away.
It's growing as a possibility. So that's the latest on that front. In the meantime, here is the stat that is rocking the world of the National Football League today. This morning, right now, Gardner Minshew has the highest passer rating through three games of any rookie in the Super Bowl era.
Okay. Gardner Minshew.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it for just a second.
Here we go, Cougs.
Did you go to Washington State?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. You just see a Pac-12 honk.
I just love it.
That's what I thought. Gardner Minshew has the highest passer rating through three games of any rookie in the Super Bowl of 53 years of NFL football. Nobody's been this good through three games.
Is this guy Jeremy Lin or is he legit? Like, is he legitimate? Like,
that's such a good comp.
Like, is it Jeremy Lin? Like, he's going to have this three-game run?
Is he about to Nick Foles? That's kind of how we teased it a second ago. Nick Foles was, oh my gosh, your season's screwed. Carson Wentz is out. We're done. And, oh, by the way, we're going to win a Super Bowl because Nick Foles is around. Is this guy about to Foles?
I was excited to watch that game last night. I watched, quite a bit of it. And by the way, Tennessee got down inside the red zone, inside the 10, and when they went for it on a fourth down, they didn't get it. It cost them a game. Did you see that? Everybody see that?
Yes, I did.
Tennessee got down inside for late in the game, got inside the 10. Can't remember what yard line they were at. They went for it, and they didn't get it, and that cost them. the kid in the first half was unbelievable. I mean, he threw two touchdown passes. He completed almost all of his passes. He was fantastic. The story of the game is Jacksonville's defense that sacked Marcus Mariota 63 times in the game. 63 sacks.
I think your numbers might be a smidge off.
I mean, did anybody that watched that game not think that Marcus Mariota got sacked on every drop back?
It felt like he got
sacked on every single drop back.
And by the way, since we're applauding for people, I'm going to applaud Calais Campbell.
Oh,
good for you.
He is a stud.
Good for you. Good for you. Yep. And not because it necessarily shows that Arizona was wrong. I'm not reveling
just
in the fact
Calais
that.
But Calais great
is
guy.
Such a good guy. And at the time, I thought, I don't want to speak for you. At the time, I thought, I'm glad the Cardinals aren't giving you that much money for that many years because you're going to get old. And when you do, you're not going to be worth that money. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Still playing at a high level.
Still playing at a high level. Good guy. High motor. Works hard. Good for him. Good for him. I'm more than happy to be wrong about the Cardinals' decision not to bring back Calais Campbell. It looks even worse since Robert Kimdichie was such a horrific boss. No, I'm being serious.
I haven't thought about it like that. They drafted Kimdichie to replace him.
Yeah, they drafted Kimdichie to replace Calais. Yeah. And man, you talk about a swing and a miss. They whiffed on that one.
Highest completion percentage in first three games, rookie, Super Bowl ever, Gardner Minshew, 73.8. I want to put a little, the next best guy, Rick Myra. Seattle, 1993. The third guy on that list, Trent Edwards, Buffalo. What did all those guys have in common? They all sucked.
They weren't very good.
They all sucked. They were terrible.
Yeah.
So, okay.
That's why I like your Jeremy Lin comp.
Let's just see on this Gardner Minshew.
Yes.
Let's just see. I'm tapping the brakes. I'm going to wait a little bit. Highest passer rating first three games, Super Bowl era, Gardner Minshew's number one. You know who's number two? Marcus Mariota.
Speaking of that, Mike Vrabel, head coach of the Tennessee Titans last night. Ryan Tannehill had his helmet on. How close was he to coming in?
Not very. He just can hear the calls when he puts his helmet on.
So apparently not very. Maybe he should have.
You're going to have to bring him in because Mariota's going to get killed out there. Like, he's been sacked 17 times in three games. He's going to get killed.
He's so skittish. Especially down 13, what was it, like 4 minutes to go in the game?
Yep.
Oh, there was all the urgency of a lazy Thursday night on the couch watching TV. I mean, it was just like, come on, man. You know you're down 13, right? These little dink and dunk and handing off the ball and walking up to the line of scrimmage and taking your time to get the next playoff. You know that's not going to work, right? But the whole game, he just looked so tedious and blah, and they're going to need a quarterback. They are going to need a quarterback at the end of the season because it's not him.
They're calling for him to be benched right now. So I don't, you know, we'll see how long this goes. But, you know, Vrabel's got a tough decision to make. I mean, they thought Mariota would be their franchise quarterback. It doesn't look like he is. He's been sacked 17 times through the first three games. That is the most a single quarterback has been sacked through week three since 2002. So he is getting clobbered back there. Did throw for 300 yards, but again, I mean...
deceiving. It was so deceiving.
Absolutely deceiving. Completely deceiving. I agree. Because in the first half of that football game, he didn't complete any passes. He threw for 62 yards in the first half. 62 yards in the first half. So yes, you're 100% right. The numbers are deceiving. Mariota's not good.
Back to Minshew. Here's Lewis Riddick on ESPN.
He's elevating everyone else around him, which is something you don't usually associate with young quarterbacks like this. And I'll tell you, he's doing exactly what the guy who he's replacing did for Philadelphia, that being Nick Foles. He's making everyone else calm down. He's making everybody else understand, I'm just going to let this offense work for me. I'm not going to try to be somebody that I'm not. And a lot of times, that's all you really need to do as a quarterback. You don't need to be anybody that you're not. And Gardner clearly is comfortable in his own skin.
Did you see clearly?
That's funny.
He's clearly,
he made a funny right there.
Yeah, he's clearly comfortable.
He's comfortable in his own skin. that's good.
Did you read the story that I sent you about the time he tried to break his own hand?
Yes.
God, that was so funny.
Yes,
that was so funny. He was the way the story goes. He was worried that he was going to have to burn a year of his eligibility. And he was trying to medical redshirt himself.
And he thought that would be the best way to do it.
So he had a bunch of shots of Jack Daniels, and he took a hammer, and he tried to break his own hand because he was going to tell the coaches he got his hand stuck in a car door, and he couldn't do it. He, like, took a shot, swing, swing, swing. Nope, it's not broken yet. Took another shot, Swing, swing, swing. Still not broken. All right, let's try it one more time. Swing, swing, swing. Screw it. I can't do it. I can't break my own hand. And so it's just going to have to be what it's going to be. But he was trying to break his own hand so he could go to his coaches and say, you can't play me anymore. You got to redshirt me because I'm not going to waste a year of my eligibility on this. Because you're going to play me one more game, and then you're not going to play me the rest of the year, and that's going to burn a year of my eligibility. Not going to do it. So funny.
I mean, if you're going to tell your coaches that your hand got smushed in a car door, why didn't he smush his hand in a car door, you know?
Oh, that's a good question.
You know, have your buddy slam it.
Oh, can you imagine? Seriously. Seriously, can you imagine? Just for a second.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Okay. I'm all liquored up on a bottle of Jack. I'm going to put my hand right there where the door closes. Gambo? Of course I would ask you because you would slam that door as hard as you possibly could.
I'll do it.
Wouldn't hesitate.
Gambo, slam that door as hard as you can on my hand. How crazy do you have to be?
Yes, you got to be crazy. My daughter, Kaylee, who played D1 soccer at Loyola, she was a softball player too. And she was a good softball player. She's like an all-star and everything, and she used to go for hitting lessons. And I remember her, she had like a hitting lesson with this girl who literally did that. She broke her hand in a car door because she didn't want to play anymore. She was so tired of playing, the pressure that her parents were putting on her, she broke her hand in a car door. She did it on her own.
What? She did it to herself?
To herself. Ooh. Broke her hand in a car door. Because she just was so burnt out from playing. Seriously. She was so burnt out from... This is a true story.
I believe you. There's not enough booze in the world that I could drink to slam my own car door on my hand to break it.
What do I have to do to get my parents to stop pushing me to play the sport every single day? And so she broke her hand.
That's sad.
I
know.
It is sad. The expectation is that he could be traded today. So what did Steve Keim have to say about the Cardinals' alleged interest in Jalen Ramsey? You'll hear next on the Burns and Gambo Show.